All right. Well, take your Bibles and turn with us to Colossians first, if you will. I'd like to read a few verses here. We're talking about the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And we said that really is in the form of a three-letter word, thou shalt not what? Lie. I think that pretty well covers. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your precious book. Thank you for your, Father, that you preserved for our day, the book, the Word of God. And now we come to it again to open it up, to be fed by. Lord, we realize today in the secular world, every way we turn, as we heard today about the program last night that's on the History Channel, trying to deny the creation account that Adam had another woman rather than Eve. And Lord, it just amazes me in this enlightened age what people are trying to do to destroy the absolute truth of the Word of God. And it won't be long for a generation going to be raised that will not even know the true God at all, because the voices of the secular world is coming to the point to capture people's mind before the gospel can get to them. And Lord, when this happens, they have access to the world, and we're trying to be in place. And we know you're mighty, and Father, we know your word is powerful, but we also know that God will let anyone turn it down. And as Apostle Paul went to Athens and was speaking to an intellectual, educated people, they seemingly mocked him. They refused to listen. Very few things God did. And it's too late for those people. And Lord, we realize that very few things that God will do now when people reject the Word of God. Yet we have this instruction to get it out. We feel helpless sometimes. We feel powerless sometimes. But then we also know, though, Lord, there's nothing you can't do except where you limit yourself. And you limit yourself when it comes to the will of man. You not do for him what you can do unless he accepts Jesus Christ as Savior. So now tonight, help us understand a little more about your word that help us stand firm upon these principles of the Word of God so that God can use us as a voice in these last days. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In chapter 3, we have verse 9. We read last week, and I'd like to read, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. His deeds, the old man's deeds, ye have put off. You never find God telling unsaved people to put off the old man. They don't know how. But he tells us we have. We know how. An amazing thing. We're living in an age today that where there's less of that than there's ever been. Put off the old man, he said, and do what? And put on the new man. And I believe with all my heart, you can't really put on the new man until you begin to put off the old man. And so there's a battle going on. Put on the new man. How? He's renewed in knowledge. Isn't that interesting? How are you going to put on the new man? You've got to have knowledge. Where's that knowledge got to come from? From the secular world. You know better than that. That's always telling us how to feed the old man. You have to put on the new man, and you can't do that without knowledge. Watch. After the image of him that created him. The image of him, Jesus Christ, is the image as God in creation. And here's the thing. He said, we put on knowledge after him, again, the image, after the image of him that created. In other words, the knowledge that we need to know starts with Jesus Christ. And you can't have that knowledge without this book. There's not another book in the world and man's history inspired that tells us about Jesus Christ. Now, there's been some people who have been inspired in the sense to write some, but they won't God-breathed. There's a difference. And the reason for that, if a man can be inspired to write something about this book, others can be what the same type of inspiration as far as for the flesh is concerned to write something to counteract it. So what we're finding today is a lot of things through the years past that were people put down because they knew they were not inspired, God-breathed, and they knew that those who wrote it were trying to destroy the Scriptures. We live in an age now where the world don't care about that. In fact, they'd rather find something they can store the Scriptures on rather than find something to improve the Scriptures or at least verify the Scriptures. I shouldn't say you can't improve them, but verify them. You understand what I'm talking about? And so he says we have to do that. Now, where he said this image that created him, that where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, the elect of God. How do you do that? He's holy, He's beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, minds of meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against it, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. These are pretty strong statements. And above all things, he said, put on charity, that's love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called by in one body, and be ye thankful. Then he said, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I don't think you can have the peace of God that he's talking about in verse 15, rule in your heart, unless you do have the word of God, in verse 16, dwelling there, teaching you, admonishing in one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And of course, this teaching is doctrinal. He teaches to warn. He teaches us that we are to warn, to encourage, and we're to teach doctrine. Then he says in verse 17, notice, he said, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Watch for 23 and 24. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Let me give you a secret, ladies and gentlemen. You may be in a tight place somewhere or another, and you may not like exactly what's going on, and you may, for some reason or another, you can't leave that place. You start doing what you know you need to do for the glory of God. Just say, I'm going to do it for God's glory. What I'm going to do, I can't stand this person, that person, but I'm going to do it for the glory of God until God changes me to in some other area. And I guarantee you, you'll look at things different because you realize this is a fulfillment of Scripture. Whatsoever you do, do heartily as of the Lord and not unto men. Why? Knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Why? For ye serve the Lord Christ. That person that you haven't worked for, this day and time, I'll tell you, there's so much selfish there. People run over you trying to get up to the next level of business or level in the place. There's no courtesy now in the workforce when it comes to getting jobs. You know that already. But he said, what you do as the heart, as again, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And you do it in the Lord. It's amazing. And God will help you find favor with God and man when you do that. And then the thing about it is, he said, you know this. Know that the Lord, notice, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, he says, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I'm working with this guy, but I'm serving Christ. And that means I've got to please him. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to be a good servant to this guy. And I realize I may not get everything here, but I'm going to get rewards from the Lord one day because I have overcome this situation, whatever it may be faced in life. And so here we talk about thou shalt not bear false witness against the neighbor. You know, sometimes when you're in a tight somewhere or another and things not going just right, it's very easy sometimes to kind of slant the truth, isn't it? Isn't it? We're biased. Oh, you didn't know that? You know, I said we. We're biased. We are self-preservation before any other preservation. And sometimes we get caught in a trap and things just don't happen like we think they should happen. God is truth, though. People are never what they seem to be 100%. That's right, bro. We're just never that. We're never what we seem to be 100%. People's outward manners hides a multitude of weakness and sometimes sinful ways. If we really could see what God sees, we'd find out that there's a lot of mask on all of us on certain things. It may not be the same mask, but there's a lot of mask on all of us with certain things. James says this in chapter 5, and I like this. He says this. He said in verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and watch this, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Isn't that an amazing thing? You went to one to the Lord, and he said, what happened? You know, you saved that soul from death. That's eternal death. But you also hide a multitude of sins. You know why? They're put on the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't be found. And by the way, people might remind us about them. It don't really matter anyhow. God tells us when the blood washes them away, they cannot be found. They're like behind his back. They're like in the depth of the sea. They're like the east from the west. And just cannot be found. Now, God is everything the Bible says that he is. And these verses are truth when we begin to gain knowledge about what the Lord would have us to do. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, The scripture says this also. It says in chapter 10, verse 12, it said, hatred stirs up strife, but love covereth all sins. And something about this in life, God gives us that the love of God comes in and gives us a peace with God and helps us have the peace of God in situations of life. God is everything the Bible says he is. I believe that. I believe he is, folks. It's not only that he's what he says about eternal life. He's what he says about living a life. He's what he said about when we respond to him in a certain way in deeds that he will bless or not bless. He keeps his word. He is absolutely true in everything he does. God's word comes from the whole of his infinite being. Now, people are reasonable, sincere, but we're not completely sincere all the time when it comes to what we say or we do. We are always biased. That's the reason David said in Psalm 116, verse 11, he said, I say in my haste, all men are liars. That includes me. I don't like that too good, do you? David said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. All men? Some women say, well, I'm glad he said men. He didn't say women. It includes us all. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, when God looks at things, he don't look like we do. I don't have to tell a big black white lie to be a liar. I can insinuate something, and also God looks at it that way. This commandment forbids the lie and condemns the liar. It would be an insulting thing. Let me give you some illustration. It'd be an insulting thing, I think, for me to say to you as an individual. If I'd go up to a brother and say something like this, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. I've heard something that's been said in gossip, and thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. That'd be insulting to you for me to say that. By the way, that'd be gossip too. And so I'd automatically be in the wrong to do that. But on the other hand, if I would come to you or you'd come to me and you say, my brother or my sister, I want you to know I don't believe the gossip that's going around. I don't believe that you have been bearing false witness about your neighbor. And I'm sorry that this is going around. I want you to know I'm praying for you, and I believe this. The Bible says, and what the Bible says about this, in an innocent situation, God will take care of that. Now, that will not be insulting to you at all. That would be saying in tender words, I really care. And I want you to know, as a brother or sister, I don't listen to what has been said, and I want you to know I'm praying for you about this thing. Now, that's tender words, and that's an error of identifying with someone to understand that they're hurting when you know this to be true. Someone said that sin has it has many tools, but it's a lie. But a lie is the handle that fits all those tools. God's word is God's lie detector. And you can find, the day will come, it'll be the word of God that we're actually judged by anyhow when we stand before him. Jesus is the authority on this subject. Jesus is the authority when he talks about who's the author of lie. In John chapter 8 with me, he says this, and look down about verse 43, 44, and 45. He says to the people, why do you not understand my speech, my talking? Why don't you understand what I'm saying? Because you cannot hear my word. Isn't that interesting? Now, you see, they were hearing his words. I mean, they knew he was talking. Hey, you can hear me talking. Everyone in here is hearing what I say. But what he said, when I say, or when Christ says, or anyone else, teacher, anyone else says what the scripture has to say, they hear the words, but they don't hear the word. And that's the word of God. Because when we hear the word, we act upon it one way or the other, accept or reject. And notice what he said. Now, why do they do that? Ye are your father, the devil. Boy, that hit hard, didn't it? And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father. And here's the thing about it is, we know he's not our father who is saved. But the practical side is that if I let the flesh take and I tell a lie of any kind, then I'm practicing something who is not my father? Because that's completely against the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Heavenly Father. So here, if being saved to practice that is to practice someone who's not my father, is to exalt him more than my Heavenly Father. And that's when the Holy Spirit brings a conviction to our heart to say, hey, if you're going to exalt anyone, I believe that I know my heart is, I want to exalt God. I want to exalt Jesus Christ, and I can't do that when there is a derogatory statement about who he is and exalt and be and fall in line to practice of what Satan himself. We're talking about, you see, ladies and gentlemen, no wonder people don't like these commandments, because if you get off the surface and get looking at them, and they get down where we live at. They're literally down where we live at as Christians. And the world don't like it because they don't understand what God's trying to do. We should understand what God's trying to do to us as individuals as he speaks to our heart on these lines. Again, Jesus the author, and then he said, as he said in verse 45, he said, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Now, this is strong language. Do you know that? By the way, it's strong to these people, but it's strong to us too, and to the world it's very strong. When we read them and realize that if we'd have to fall in the category, even though we're saved, if we'd have to fall in the category, then we're exalting someone who is not our father. The devil here, Satan is the father of lies. Now, the devil here is the transliteration of the Greek word diabolos. And it's interesting, as you see what this means, because his name has to do with what Jesus just said here. This gives us characteristics of who he is. But this particular word means, it comes from two words, preposition dia and a verb bold that means to throw. Diabolos means to say a word here, then cross over and say something completely different over there. That means I go to this person, I say one thing, and then I go to this person, I say something else. That's the way, or you might just say this truth and someone throws something across that truth, which in turn makes it to be doubted. That's the way Satan did to start with. He didn't come and directly contradict God to Adam and Eve. He came causing the doubt, throw the word across the truth, what God had said, and cause them to doubt. Someone, they say one thing to you and then entirely something different to somebody else. And this is the era where Jesus taught, some people talk about when Jesus talked, he talked in parables. And the difference in that is, a parable is a preposition, para, and the put by the side of, bold, to throw the side of. So what happens here, you put a parable beside something to measure it by. Something earthly about a heavenly thing. And so Jesus threw it alongside, you heard say before, alongside the earth, something in the earth, a heavenly truth, so you can see it to measure it by, and suddenly realize, hey, I see that. I can't see all those things in heaven, in the spiritual world, except through faith. And I have no eyesight to see that with these eyes. But you show me something here. You illustrate something I see with my physical eye, and let me see the truth behind your teaching that's in the spiritual world. And brother, it comes alive. It comes alive to one's heart. And so again, you put a parable beside something to measure it by. What an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So parabolos is to measure, to get out, to get at the truth. Diabolos simply is to throw something across the truth, to twist it or to distort it. Satan is a slanderer, not only is he a liar. And that's what we see happening. Satan does not come to people and contradict God directly. He lies and causes them to doubt. You see him in Adam and you see him in Eve. You tell me, what did Eve say to Satan when he came to her about that tree of knowledge of good and evil? Tell me. God has said what? Not to eat of it. If you do, the day you shall what? Die. I mean, just in a paraphrase sentence. Now, when she said that to him, he said, hath God said? Don't you know? Doubt. Don't you know that what God is doing, he don't want you to know something that you don't have that's better than what you've got now, making her think that she could get something better than what she had when she had him? Throwing doubt across the bow of truth to distort it and twist it so that the mind will say, well, what about that? That does sound reasonable. And that works in anything. Hath God said, be faithful? Hath God said the tithe is his? Hath God said, throws a cross of doubt about it. Hath God said, go and witness? Hath God said, love thy wife? Has God said to the wife, be committed to, submitted to the husband? Hath God, you see what I'm saying? You put the hath God said, it throws across the bow of truth that which twists. And then you begin to find ways to twist it further to even not do what God says do, or make it say something that's not. And then all of a sudden someone said, well, I can't do that. I won't do that. That don't even sound right at all, because we twisted it too far. Rather than saying, what does it mean to be faithful, Lord, so I can be? What does it mean about giving your time? What does it mean for me to go out and witness? What does it mean for a husband to love his wife? Help me understand that. What does it mean for a wife to be committed to her? What does that mean? Don't let me get into thinking that someone thinks that when a wife is committed to her husband or submitted to her husband that she's trampled out on the floor. If she's like that, then that is not what God's talking about. Don't mean she's got to squat when you say squat. It doesn't mean that. It means simply there is a relationship there where in turn commitment to the head, because the head is following God. Come on now, help me out. You see what we're saying? I'm talking about this thing of bearing false witness. We got a lot of false witness going on about doctrine today. Depending on where people are at, you see. So here again, it's interesting as we go through Job, for instance. Doth Job fear God for naught? Throwing it across the truth, you see. Interesting. He didn't come and charge Job for beating his wife. He didn't come and charge Job for being a drunk. He throwed across a doubt across that which is truth. When God approached, or when he approached God and asked the question. In Revelation chapter 2, 12, verse 10, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And by the way, he's doing a good job of it too. And God's allowing it until he puts him in his place. I'll tell you one thing. You know, it's one thing to be accused down here, but it's another thing when you're accused up there and to God himself. And thank God we have something we know about, though. Thank God we have an advocate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, have an advocate said in there, we're not there yet except by faith. We're in Christ, and so therefore by being in him, he's our advocate sitting there. He's the authority, and I'm glad God listens to Christ, not Satan, no matter what he says. So isn't that joy? That's a wonderful thing to know as we know who he is there. You know why? God is truth. Deuteronomy 32, 4, Numbers 23, 19. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 16, it said, the God of truth, because God is truth. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8, he talks about God is true. God is set before us in contrast to Satan. And Christ is set before us in contrast to Satan. If we look at this at the time, God is truth. Satan is a liar. That's the contrast. God is truth. Satan is a liar. Now, if God is truth, he can tell nothing but the truth. If Satan is a liar, he don't care about the truth. So his full-time job in a lost condition is when he hears truth, to throw doubt across the bow of truth to twist it. So we get caught in the trap of wondering, because we can't see God with a physical eye. We see the evidence of him. But he only bears witness in our heart. And by the way, folks, would you listen to me? The fact right now is that the bearing witness in our heart is less today because we're not reading and studying the Word of God. He can't bear witness in our heart without the Word. We come in, we pray to him in prayer, words. God speaks to us from heaven through his Word. We go to him with words and prayer. But he comes to us through his Word. And you'll not see anything else except based on his Word if you're going to see absolute truth. And you see anything else, it may be something thrown across the bow. Proverbs 6 says seven things that God hates. And you know what the second one is? Lie. The very second one is lie. So if that be the case, what is a lie? I think it's a good question. What is a lie? A false witness commits perjury in court. Most people know that's a lie. And then there's a penalty for that. The purpose of courts is to try to establish justice. And a false witness defeats the purpose of courts. And that's what we're seeing today. Everybody who goes to court trying to get out of it. And lawyers know that. And therefore, their business is to win cases. The more they win, the more people want them. And what happens is, it's hard to get to the truth. I mean, it wasn't only in Christ's day that people bribe people, tell lies, so they could condemn someone. And it's not only in our day that people get bribed to tell a lie to get someone out of a situation in this life. Again, you think about it. They throw something across the bow of truth to twist it and distort it. Judges are trying to sort out the truth. Be honest with you, I don't know how they do it sometimes. It just amazes me. Have you ever been in court and listened to some of the things that go on? In fact, it goes on. It's hard to get to the truth anyhow. If you know the truth, you can't tell it if you understand. Because you have to answer the way the lawyers ask you. And you try to answer it the way you know it's true, and they'll say, hey, judge, tell them to answer the question like I asked. It'd be a good thing to take a day off sometime and go to court and just sit there and see what goes on, especially in some of the trials. But this commandment has a wider view than just the court. And this is the thing where it gets us. Boy, if it's just the court, we never have to go to court. We'll not worry about it, will we? But the thing about it is a wider view than that. And when you dig into it and see all the scripture God has on it, there are more ways to bear false witness than to go to court. There are a lot of words in the English language which means to break this commandment. Could I give you a few? And I'm sure I've just looked through some. Lying, we know what that is. There's one called prevarication, slander, backbiting, belittling, gossip, depreciation, degradation, rumors, aspiration, forgery, railing, whispering, tale-bearing, fib, fable, fabrication, deceit, turn the trump up. These are just a few of them. All of that fits this particular commandment when it's broken. See how easy it is to slant something along the way? And God's word speaks to us just like we are. This commandment can be broken in many, many ways. Keep in mind, I wish I had a time. I got about 5 more minutes. Keep in mind, I'm going to say something that's going to puzzle you, and it's true. Keep in mind that every untrue statement may not be a lie. Do you know that? Every untrue statement may not be a lie. Say, wait a minute, preacher, now you're getting close to the border there. Well, let me give you an example. Someone is working a problem in class. Algebra problem. I've been there, that's the reason I know. Someone who's making, years ago I had a test in algebra 2. I worked the problem. In that case, I got the answer right, but the problem won't work right. Now, you tell me how in the world you can get it wrong when you got the answer. And the teacher admitted I got the answer. I read and they thought I copied someone's paper. But I didn't. But I worked the problem wrong. But suppose that I had worked, let's say I did that problem, and I worked it the best I could, and I turned it in, and I missed the question because I gave the wrong answer. That's not lying. That's just being honest. Follow me now. Did you hear what I said? If I did the problem and missed it and got it completely wrong, did it wrong, got the answer wrong, and turned it into the teacher and said, teacher, that's the answer to that problem. And she says, no, put the big red X on it. That's not lying. That's just showing I'm a little ignorant about that problem. Amen? But let's suppose now I've done that problem and I know the answer is wrong. It's been counted wrong and Brother Tyson has taken the lesson. And I give, say, Brother Tyson, this is the answer. And he puts it down. He gets it wrong. I've lied. What, I lied, brother? So you see,
What I'm saying to you is that every untrue statement may not be a lie necessarily, and there are circumstances like that, that where that could take place. On the other hand, there are some true statements that are, some true statements are lies or can be a lie. Just where that untrue statement wouldn't be a lie if I made the wrong, got the wrong answer, but if I gave it to someone else and say, hey, that's what the answer is, and that person, he or she does it, then that's lying. You see, you thought lie was just one big thing over here that if you never did it, you're okay, didn't you? In fact, I had a lot of just a few of those. I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, this thing just busts you open when you get in and look at it. You realize how much you need the grace of God. You realize how much you need Jesus Christ. It makes you love Him more. And I guarantee you, even though you see yourself in reflection of God's Word like that, it will make you try to live better for Him on things that other people never see. You say, how could this happen? I'm going to quit with this one. How can a statement be true, and yet be a lie, or could be a lie? Let's give an example. Let's suppose down here on Shotwell Road at Dr. Meehan's office, there's a lady walking across that road there from over the town thing, and a car hits her and knocks her down. And her leg, we think, is broke. And the doctor's office is right there down the street just a little ways. And a Baptist deacon picks her up and takes her to the doctor's office because she's hurt. And somebody see that gossiping, called his wife up and said, so-and-so, I hate to tell you this, but I just saw your husband carrying a woman down the street a while ago and didn't look too good. Gossip turns something into something that's not real, not true. You see what I'm saying, folks? It's not the big things, but these little things of what God talks about, slandered and gossip. Why? Because most of the time, gossip is always shaded to not tell the truth, because you don't know all the truth. I know you'll be glad when I finish all this, won't you? You look like you're bored to death. Amen. But this is the situation we see. You know, a true statement, but still a lie to say it like that. True statement. Person was helped. Another one is this, and I won't tell you, it's this. Did you know that when a child exaggerates because of its innocence, he's not lying? Do you know that? A little child playing in the yard comes running, Mommy, 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 there's a lion outside. And she runs to the window and looks out and sees a big shaggy dog out there. And she says, oh, that's not a lion, that's an old dog. He won't bother you. He can't get to you anyhow. He's outside the fence. Go back out and play. 4 minutes later, comes, Mommy, 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 please come. There's a lion out there. And she says, listen, I've told you, if you come in here and tell that again, when you know that's a dog, she said, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. Went back out, and sure enough, he come back again. That dog must come up to the fence. Mommy, 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 there's a lion out there. And she comes in, she washes her mouth with soap. She said, you go upstairs. I'm adding a little bit to this now. She said, you go upstairs, and you get on your knees and ask God to forgive you for lying. He went upstairs, come back down in a few minutes. Mother said, yes, God forgive you? Yes, ma'am. Did he forgive you? Yes, ma'am. But he also told me, don't worry about it. First time I saw that dog, I thought it was a lion too. Exaggeration. You see what we're saying? Isn't God merciful, folks? Isn't God wonderful? He lays it out, but he also knows he understands when the flesh, and there are situations. It amazes me how he can give you insight so you can see things that are real bad. But realize just because we don't do that, it's very easy to be caught in a trap along the way and do something or say something that's not true. And if I'm innocent as an adult, if I reread something and I tell it and it hurts someone, I've lied. And I have to be honest before God with those things.
And that's what we're talking about. Do not bear false witness among to your neighbor. Father, thank you again for the word. Help us finish this next week, Lord, and help us. Lord, I want us to see things simple. This world looks at, if I don't do something gross wrong, then it's all right. And they're living like the devil. We have to have an insight and realize for God to use us, the little things is what count. I like that song, dear Father, that Sister Sparks sings about the chamber in her heart and how God is going to every one of those places and clean every chamber. Lord, that's what it's got to be for you to use. We can't expect you to use it in all the chambers except one section is cleaning out, spiritually speaking. God sees it all, and God wants to use us. Thank God he'd give us a way that we can come and plead the blood of Jesus Christ and know that God forgives sin and forgets sin when it's under the blood of Christ. And we're responsible being to try to be what God would have us be. God, please bless us. Don't let this teaching of the Ten Commandments go not heeded. Help us to heed them in some way. Point out to us where we need to be helped. Lord, I just see so much in studying this, and I know good well that others, they'll listen and go and look at it. We can see that we want to be our best for you, dear Lord. We know we're going to meet people who are going to, they're going to curse us, and they're going to deny, and they're going to lie on us. But Lord, when we do what we do for you and the glory, we want to be clean before you. So we'll know that God's word is true, and he will do what he said he'd do. And he'll make us have a relationship not only with God, but with man as we go through this life. Thank you for that. Bless our people who come on Wednesday night. Don't let it be boring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.